It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
I feel like somebody needs to give me the Brian Dennehy speech in Rambo. It's over, Johnny. It's over. Steelers dog walked by the Texans last night, and they are done. Can the Texans replicate that in Foxborough? Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Always inside the Westwood One Sports app, and you can watch the show on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/TheKostos, K-O-S-T-O-S, at TheKostos. Nick will be back tomorrow. Brooks Austin is going to join me a little more than a half hour from now to talk college ball, national championship game, Miami, Indiana, possible CFP expansion, all that fun stuff, and we'll get back into a deep dive on where the Pittsburgh Steelers go from here 1 hour from now. Lucky enough now, though, to be joined by Frank Schwab, covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. Morning, Frank. How are you? And how surprised were you, or maybe unsurprised, that the Steelers went out with the whimper that they did last night at the hands of that Texans defense?
Yeah, I didn't get much right this weekend, but I did get that right because I just looked up. I was saying, how could the Steelers score against the Texans? I didn't mean it literally, though. I thought the Steelers would at least get one touchdown on the board. Nothing from them. And look, it's part of this is the Texans. The Texans defense is nasty. That's a championship quality defense. Really, really good. But part of it is the Steelers. This has just been a mediocre team all year. I really don't know how they got the 10 wins. I looked at this team midseason and was like, they are going to fade and fade hard. They didn't. And that's a credit to them, credit to Mike Tomlin and all that. But they were going to get exposed eventually in the playoffs. If it wasn't this round, it was the next round. So not terribly surprised, but yes, the way they got just beat up on offense was a little surprising to that extent.
What should their plan be? Forget Tomlin for now and what his future may or may not hold, but I'll put you in the Pittsburgh Steelers front office for just a couple of minutes. What is the plan for a team that has been playing quarterback roulette for the past half decade in an offseason where there just aren't a lot of great options out there?
Right, and that's a problem. Any quarterback who's available is usually not an optimal selection. You could go get Kirk Cousins. Where does that get you? Malik Willis, maybe he's the man. Maybe he's going to be the next great quarterback to come off the scrap heap and revive his career. I don't know that you can depend on that. You don't have a draft pick where you're going to get somebody, especially in this class, where you feel really good about it. Why they passed on Jackson Dart, I'll never know. That was a ready-made pick for them. And they should have made it. The Giants did. They should feel pretty good about it, too. So I don't know what they do. I honestly think we're to the point with the Steelers where they just need to rebuild. It's not just the quarterback. It is the defense is really, really old, and it looked apart many, many times this season. I don't know how it gets better next year. On offense, they just don't have a lot. DK Metcalf is fine, but he's not carrying an offense by himself. I think it's just to the point where the Steelers need to say, we just need to go in a completely different direction. We need to tear it down a little bit to build back up. And I don't think they want to do that. They're going to look at it and say, we just won a division. We won 10 games. We're not a type of team that's just going to voluntarily take a 4-win season. We're the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think they're just stuck. They're stuck in the middle, and that's been the problem. They've been stuck in the middle for years and years now.
Yeah, it's been to folks who are in different markets, you know, your Arizonas, your Carolinas, teams where winning is not an every year thing. It more jumps up and bites you by surprise sometimes. It's hard to accept the fact that a team would want to walk away from a relationship with a perennial winner like Mike Tomlin, who's never had a losing season. But in those places like Pittsburgh, New England, Green Bay, where winning is the bare minimum and it's got to go another level or two higher, there is this standard that Tomlin has not met. He's tied with Marvin Lewis now for the most consecutive playoff losses at 7. And I'm curious, I'll put you again, you're in the Steelers front office. So I'll promote you, Frank. I'll put you all the way up in the owner's suite at 3400 South Water Street and ask you, what would you do with Mike Tomlin? He's got a year left on his deal. He's got an option that needs to be decided if they're going to pick up for 2027 by March. Would you give him the option to coach it out as a lame duck and let him then make the decision if he wants to move on or not?
I think I would just start over. And it goes back to the rebuild. If you want to rebuild, just clean it out. Just start over. You don't want Mike Tomlin going through that. Mike Tomlin doesn't want to go through it. He's got other options. He's a great, great coach. I've always said this about the Steelers. Their next coach is very, very, very unlikely to be as good as Mike Tomlin has been. Really, that's the truth. Like he's got a Hall of Fame resume if you compare it to other guys in the Hall of Fame. But sometimes there's just a change needs to be made. So if I was guiding the Steelers here, I would just say, we're getting further and further away from the goal of being a Super Bowl contender. Yeah, we're winning games and not having losing seasons and barely making the playoffs, and that's great. That's fine. But we're not close to being a Super Bowl contender, so we're starting the whole thing over. And you sit down to Mike Tomlin and say, how do we do this the right way? Because we're not just firing you the 12 hours after a playoff loss. You deserve better than that. I think it's a mutual parting of ways. And then Mike Tomlin could go. Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh then would be the one and two candidates on the entire market. If Mike Tomlin wants to keep coaching, he can have any open job he wants, unless Harbaugh takes it first. So I think this could work out for everybody. And Andy Reid with the Eagles type of situation, the comparison everybody has made, I think that can happen here with the Steelers and Tomlin. But I just think it's run its course in Pittsburgh. This whole group with Tomlin. What you run it back to try to win 9 games next year? Like, I don't know that that's really a goal anybody has in Pittsburgh.
Frank Schwab covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. Love his insights, and he's with us here on You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today. And then you've got Texans fans who are waking up this morning in Houston saying, hey, great, everybody talk about the Steelers and what happens with them. What about us? We just dominated them on the road. First road victory in franchise history. We survived our quarterback with the drop season. Our defense was as dominant as it's been all year. How far can the Texans ride that if C.J. Stroud cleans up some of the mistakes from last night?
Oh, they can absolutely go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that defense, look, I'm based in Colorado. I watched the 2015 Broncos very closely. They had a quarterback who had a big name, but had a 69 passer rating that year, and they made a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, because that defense was awesome. You can still win that way in the NFL. It's not easy. It's not preferred, but you can do it. And I think the Texans defense is the best unit left in the playoffs. It was the best unit in the playoffs when we started the playoffs. It's absolutely awesome. I mean, for everybody who's saying, oh, Josh Allen, this is his year. He's going to make a Super Bowl. I watched that game. I think it was week 12. It was a Thursday night. They destroyed Josh Allen in that game. They sacked him like 8 times. This Houston Texans team is really good. Now, the one thing I will say is losing Nico Collins, and I don't anticipate he's going to play next week. It's massive for them because he needs something on offense. You need a little bit. And Nico Collins is by far and away their best offensive player. Not having him for the next round and maybe beyond, who knows? That didn't look great. I just wonder if that's kind of their fatal flaw right now. But yes, all their games are going to be, 12 to 10 the rest of the way, maybe. And they can win that way. So, yeah, the Texans can make a Super Bowl. I have no doubt about that.
Did you wake up like me and first thing you looked at when you saw the total coming out on Houston, New England was, oh, okay, you're going to give me something in the 40s? Yeah, I'll take the under before that thing dives any farther.
Yeah, right. I am so regretful that I literally forgot to bet the Pittsburgh Steelers team total under yesterday because I thought about it. And then I just during the game, I'm like, oh, wait, I forgot to do that. Yeah. So, yes, I look, the Patriots defense, all of a sudden, where did that come from last week? It's not like the Patriots defense is coming off a bad game and they're just going to allow C.J. Stroud to shred them. They looked really good against Justin Herbert and that Chargers offense. So I think it was absolutely a defensive game. And Drake May's had a great, great season. He's a really, really good player. I don't think he's just going to go out there and put 30 on the Texans. I don't foresee that being a possibility. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really low scoring game.
The other side of the AFC bracket, the Bills going to Denver. I get it. The Broncos defense is really, really good. And Sean Payton seems to know just what buttons to push and when to push them. I still have my questions about Bo Nix. Is that fair to have, or does he get an opportunity here against a Bills defense where the Broncos could go out and they could win a game 28-24 if they have to against Buffalo?
Yeah, I think they could. I mean, the offense has been really inconsistent, but there are moments when you say, all right, that looks pretty good. It wasn't against the Chargers week 18, I'll tell you that. But like everybody likes to talk about their Giants win like it was a massive fluke, and it was in many ways. They still did put up 33 points in a quarter. Like, this isn't an offense where you're just like, there's just no way. The Steelers offense, there's no way they're going to be. The Broncos can move the ball. They can score points. It just comes and goes for them. Let's put it that way. I like them a lot, actually. I think they've been underrated all season. And a lot of it goes back to that Giants game. For some reason, I think people watched that game, saw the highlights, whatever, and just decided they're on the spot. Well, the Broncos are a lucky team. They're not that good. I don't buy that. Yes, they've won a lot of close games. That's usually an indicator of a lucky team. But that's the way this team is built. They're built, play defense, have Sean Payton manage a game in the fourth quarter, one of the best coaches in the NFL, and that gives them an edge, kind of like the Chiefs of 2024. And so I just think they've been underrated all year. People wrote them off as a lucky team. They won 14 games. They're at home this week in the altitude. The Buffalo Bills have a short week. Like, there's a lot going against the Bills here. Josh Allen has like 17 different injuries after that Jacksonville game. I actually like the Broncos. I get it. Josh Allen could carry this Bills team all the way to a championship, of course. Like, he's the best quarterback on the planet right now. But I just think this Broncos team has been overlooked all year. And I'm honestly not sure exactly why that is, because all they've done, they've won, what is it, 14 or last 15 games? They're a really good football
team. Yeah. As an aside to the Bills win in Jacksonville, do you think the 9-yard pickup of Josh Allen by the offensive line and carrying him down the field to the goal line like he was a bag of groceries, does that finally get us a ban? I have not been anti-tush push the last couple of years. I've just said, hey, if you can run it, run it. And if you can't defend it, figure out a way to defend it. But does this finally get us over the line for banning the tush push this offseason?
It might. And if you remember, one of the teams that was against the tush push was the Bills. They didn't want that thing. And they're probably because they don't want Josh Allen to get hurt. But yeah, I think, look, the argument I've always settled on, and I have been, you know, stop it. It's perfectly legal. Go ahead and stop it. If you're going to stop plays that are unstoppable, then Derrick Henry can't run off left tackle anymore because we can't stop that. Like, you know, like it gets silly at times. But the one argument is, look, the left wing lock in a neutral zone trap in the NHL, they said the Devils in the mid-90s, they said, you've done it great. You've kind of ruined the game. It's not aesthetically pleasing. We're having this out of the game. The shift in baseball. People said, well, that was really smart. You didn't do anything wrong, but it's not good for the game. It's not good for the watchability of the game. And so we're getting that out of here. And I think the same thing for tush push. When people line up for the tush push, you kind of roll your eyes and say, this is really not a great play. It's not a competitive play. Why is this in here? I think that's ultimately what gets that out. Instead of just making up something out of thin air, like saying like, oh, we're going to have injuries, even though we haven't yet, we're going to have injuries with this play. That's never been a great argument.
Yeah, I saw that play on that final drive by Buffalo, and I said, what are we doing at this point?
Yeah,
the offensive linemen are literally carrying Josh Allen down the field. I want to talk NFC, obviously, since we've got you here. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports with us on You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports. How do the Niners survive George Kittle's absence? They got through it in Philly because the Eagles' offense is their own unmitigated disaster, but this is on the road at Seattle against that defense. I mean, you can get Christian McCaffrey 35 touches, I guess, and say a prayer or two. But after their performance against them in Week 18, I don't know what the hope is or what the avenue is to stealing a victory for the Niners.
There is one avenue, and his name is Kyle Shanahan. He's your coach of the year. I don't even know why this is a debate anymore. It blows me away when Kyle Shanahan's not the obvious coach of the year. Why is coach of the year so broken where we have to give it to a new coach who, hey, he did so much better than Matt Eberflus. Well, okay. Like, the bar was pretty low. Like, yeah, you should hop over that. Well, you were so much better than Jared Mayo was last year. All right. Well, who was the best coach in the NFL this season? It was Kyle Shanahan, period. Hard stop. Like, I can't believe they're in the position they are after dealing with the injuries they dealt with. And so I sit here and say, yeah, the 49ers have no chance. Like, they are going to get blown out by the Seahawks team without George Kittle. They got dominated at home by a really, really good defense in Week 18. There's no chance for them. But I've been saying that all year about the 49ers. And Kyle Shanahan just keeps pulling rabbits out of his hat. Robert Saleh, too. Robert Saleh's had a great, great year as defensive coordinator. I don't know how he's doing it with that crew. They don't have much talent on that defense, but they always seem to make the plays they need to make to win games. So that's it. Can Kyle and Robert Saleh do this yet again? I can't give you a better answer than that, because I don't think there is one. They're very, very overmatched right here as far as just manpower goes, but they've been proving everybody wrong all season.
Yeah, that seven and a half feels a little heavy, but just based on the way the Seahawks have played games this year, I would be tempted to pick up the 7.5 with the Niners and just hope for, like you said, some Kyle Shanahan magic. The other NFC divisional round game, Rams on the road at the Bears. I'm done counting the Bears out, Frank. I'm done. I could watch 55 minutes of a game and say, man, this Chicago offense stinks. What's wrong with these guys? And they'll cook up something in the last 2.5-3 minutes and steal a game.
Yeah, I know. It's the same. I everybody got on me for 6 weeks ago saying the Bears were frauds. At the time, my argument was, all you've done is win close games against bad teams. You need block field goal to beat the Raiders, and you needed Jackson Dart to suffer a concussion to beat the Giants at home. Like, this was not a powerhouse team, but I think they have played better. Like, and like you said, like, they just have this belief late in the game, we're going to come back and we're going to win. Caleb Williams has that belief. And I don't think this is a great matchup for the Rams, who I think are the better team. Like, the Rams are one of the top two teams in the NFL along with Seattle. I think pretty much everybody agrees on that at this point. I will say this about the Rams, though. Since the fourth quarter at Seattle, they lost, obviously, that Seattle game. Come back and lose after that and against the Falcons. And Sean McVay says, I need to play my starters in week 18. My team's not playing well right now. He knew. That was a very un-McVay response. And he understood, my team is not great right now. They did not play that well against the Cardinals in week 18. They just pulled away from a bad team in the fourth quarter. And then they should have lost to the Carolina Panthers. The Rams have not played good football in a month. And their secondary is not great. And you're going against a team that can throw the ball and has multiple options in the receiving corps at tight end, Loveland coming alive. I don't think it's a great match. I was surprised the line was as high as it was. I thought it would be a field goal tops. I saw it at 4.5 early in the week. I thought that was really high. I think the Bears can stick in this game just because of their belief, their momentum, and also just the Rams not playing very good football late.
Yeah, they found it in pockets late against Carolina, but that's against the Carolina Panthers. How much? Yeah. And you talked about week 18 playing the starters against, well, Arizona. I don't know how much stock we put in.
They were losing in that game in the second half. They were either trailing or tied in the third quarter. And then they finally were like, all right, we'll blow a stiff wind and beat the Carolina Panther or the Arizona Cardinals. But they didn't play well in that game either. Like, that, if you watch that game, you know, like, that this Rams team has not played well in a really long time.
Follow him on social media at Yahoo Schwab. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports covers the NFL, does so exceedingly well. We appreciate the time today, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports here on You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos. Always inside the Westwood One Sports app, and we've got you covered with college football before the end of the hour. Brooks Austin, recruiting director for SI from the Film Guy Network, going to join us to talk about Miami, Indiana. But coming up next, I've figured out, after all the mean mugging and the sour faces, even when they're up by 5 touchdowns, all the memes, I've figured out exactly who Kurt Cignetti really is, and I'll tell you who. Next, here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.